From the interim director, Department of Health and Human Services, requesting authorization to create four disability benefits specialist positions in the Disability Services Division of the Department of Health and Human Services, effective February 21st, 2011. Also to the Committee on Finance and Audit, Department of Administrative Services, and Division of Human Resources. The Committee on Finance and Audit approved this item by a vote of 6-0.
Thank you.
I move approval to concur with Finance and Audit, please.
All right, motion to concur with Finance and Audit. Ms. Lyde?
Yes. Basically, this is a service that is offered under the Resource Center. In fact, it is a critical function that provides individuals with support to navigate the SSI system. It assists them with appeals. It assists with Social Security appeals. And it works hand-in-hand with economic support specialists who we have in the division and also with options counseling. We had originally, when we began the Resource Center, had these positions subcontracted. And I think we found, because we had different benefit specialists that would come weekly, that the continuity for delivery of service, also there was an issue of transporting files from one agency back to the county, and just the continuity of the delivery of service when you had a county options counselor working with someone, making sure that they had the same information as the economic support specialist. In terms of a service delivery model, we feel that it will be much more effective to have the benefit specialist, the economic support specialist, and the options counselor who can work together on behalf of one consumer. The whole concept of the Disability Resource Center is the one-stop shop. You go one place, you're able to identify the resources, and you're able then to get all of your service needs met. This funding is provided separately by the state to the county for the Disability Resource Specialist, so we do have the funding to cover that. And we made the decision that we would move this back in to have actual county positions to be more effective in our service delivery. These positions also are supported by a staff of attorneys at the Disability Rights Wisconsin. They provide the legal backup. They do all of the training, and it is highly monitored by the state because a lot of the information that they are giving out is basically in conjunction with SSI and Social Security rules.
And if you, I did yesterday question the
fiscal
note, so if you just summarize the meaning of that fiscal note, both current year and subsequent year.
Yes, we are going to continue the contract that we have with the subcontracting agency this year to plan for an orderly transition, so that funding will cover that, and then we will pick that up once these positions are created for the balance of the year. And the fiscal note really indicated, as Supervisor Jurczyk appeared, that it was tax levy. It is not. It is money appropriated from the state that funds disability benefit specialists. And actually, as we move forth into next year, there is some small savings in terms of that contract as we have created those positions. But we feel there certainly is enough money allocated that we can make the transition from this year by creating them, filling them, and we will have enough of allocation from the state in order to do that. We're going to correct the fiscal note before board day.
Thank you. Supervisor Broome and then Supervisor Rice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is really more of an editorial note. I mean, we've done a lot of privatizing in county government, and we've always had a lot of private contracts in mental health, and this is just kind of the opposite. We're now something that was privatized, and I know the agency they were talking about, it's a good agency.
Yes.
But it's very clear to me that this consolidation makes a lot of sense so that the key staff are working together and can better communicate with each other. So I do strongly support this. I just think it is interesting that it's a reverse privatization, it's going back in-house. But it's also interesting to note, and I do appreciate the chair and your department correcting the fiscal note or making it more clear as to what the real impact is, because I think in the end, from what I've been told, it's not going to cost the program any additional funds, and in fact, there may be a slight savings. So that also shows that once again, whether it's done, services are done by the county or by the outside, it really is a case-by-case basis as to whether or not there's savings.
Yeah, and I think it has demonstrated to us that sometimes it's not always works to the service delivery model to subcontract. And I think this is one case that was real clear to us that the team, having them all under one umbrella, working on behalf of one person, that our outcomes in terms of service delivery for individuals was going to be much better as opposed to having it subcontract, because they were actually had space within the county, but we had different staff coming on an ongoing basis. It was hard to make sure that consumers really knew kind of who was on first. So it really, I think, is the service delivery model that we think will be, you know, better suited for the resource center.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Supervisor Rice.
Thank you. I think I appreciate and understand the recommendation and the rationale behind it, but I just didn't want to dig down a little bit further so that I understand the fiscal impact. So there is no cost differential for the county for these four positions, whether they were provided by the contractor Independence First or Milwaukee County?
This year there will be no tax levy implication, no, because we have the money that was appropriated from the state to support these individual positions.
Mr. Regini?
I just wanted to, Ms. Lide is absolutely correct. The two things we look at on the fiscal note, and I apologize that it wasn't clear, that was our office that did the fiscal note. Our first, levy aside, we always want to make sure we're good stewards of anybody's money, whether it's Milwaukee County taxpayers or the state of Wisconsin. So we looked at whether the cost of these positions would exceed the cost of the contract over the next several years. And it was clear, even when we assume the rate of benefit increases, it still makes fiscal sense to bring these positions in-house, putting aside the operational advantages that Ms. Lide talked about. And then the second thing is the levy impact. The savings will actually be most of the savings from bringing these positions in-house will benefit the state, because the state is paying for the contract. Now they'll be paying less for the positions. However, it also might make more funds available for Ms. Lide from that contract used for other purposes. So the fiscal impact is that the positions will be cheaper than the contract, but there is no levy impact since these positions are more or less funded by the state.
Sorry, you lost me on that last part. You walk me through that again. There's savings in the state.
Sure. And Ms. Lide, I'm getting a little bit more into the finances of your operation, so correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
However, the cost of these positions will be less than the cost of the contract. However, because the state was paying for the contract and the state will now be paying for the positions, the differential will not benefit the county. The differential will benefit the state, mm-hmm, because it will be paying less for this part of the program. Now, Ms. Lide will have to chime in whether or not those savings will stay with her program, she can spend them elsewhere, or whether the state truly benefits.
Mm-hmm. Just, again, what's the rationale? Why is there a reduction? Why don't we get the same amount as the contract?
And I think you have to use the dollar specifically for disability benefits specialists.
Right.
So there is not enough money left in the contract that would cover one additional benefits specialist. So it's a small amount that's left in the state contract allocation. It's fixed. And so I think what Mr. Regini is referring to, if we don't use all of the allocation, the question is, can we use it other places in the resource center? And that's a question that still hasn't been answered. But there is not enough left to cover one additional disability benefits specialist here at the county. The differential is small, but there is some there.
Let me try to approach it a different direction. There were X dollars associated with the costs for these four positions at Independence First, right? Those same dollars will pay for four positions in Milwaukee County despite our fringe load. Mm-hmm. And so there was a built-in profit level on the Independence First that we will not be able to realize in Milwaukee County, I presume. So this differential, again, comes about, if it's the same cost, if it's an apples to apples, where's the difference?
Independence First actually had about four and a half positions. So there was a little bit of a halftime position for the differential. And because you're absolutely right, of our fringe package, we are not able to add a whole position. The question is whether the differential we would be able to use in other parts of our resource center that was allocated.
All right, thank you. And then, so after the fiscal note will be amended, what will it reflect? How will it be different than what's presented here?
The expenditures and the revenue will completely offset for zero cost. And then in the assumptions, we'll explain the differential between the contract, but explain that there's no levy impact regardless because of the fact that the state was paying for the contract and now the state is paying for the positions.
And the subsequent year contract is larger because it's a larger number of months?
Correct. The plan, if I understand it from the Department of Health and Human Services, is they're going to maintain the contract until June.
Mm-hmm.
So there will only be 6 months worth of savings versus in 2012. You'll have a full year savings of the contract.
Thank you.
Supervisor Sanford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The cost that we get for the reimbursement from the state, that includes just the current active costs. Do we have legacy and OPEB costs included in that?
The easiest answer is yes, but I'm going to hedge a little bit. When we allocate our legacy costs budgetarily, they're allocated in the beginning of the budget 100%. So 100% of our legacy costs have been completely allocated out in the 2011 budget. And legacy costs are fixed costs. So regardless of how many positions we have, the legacy costs don't change. So creating these new positions, there's no legacy cost attached to them because they're being created mid-year, and our legacy costs have been already allocated out. So the state is paying for a portion of our legacy costs that were previously allocated as part of the 2011 budget to the resource center. So it's a little complex, but the answer is yes. The legacy costs have been allocated out. The state is paying the appropriate portion of the legacy costs based on the number of positions in the resource center. But because the legacy costs are fixed costs that are allocated at the beginning of the budget process, adding these four positions will not increase our legacy cost load at all.
So what would be the plan then if the state in their next budget cuts the money or the funding for these four positions? You know, would the county then have to pick up the tab and use tax levy?
Well, I think that certainly we'd have to take a look at that. I think the issue would be we wouldn't be able to provide that service to individual consumers. It is a critical part as options counselors. If they cut our resource center contract, we'd have to take a look at could we continue those functions. So I think we would have to look clearly if they cut that, what that would mean in terms of our ability to provide disability benefits functions to consumers in Milwaukee County, just as we'd have to look at all of our functions if they cut the Disability Resource Center funding.
And the issue, Supervisor, if I may, Madam Chair,
Mr. Dean,
we'd have the same scenario that Ms. Lide just outlined. We'd have whether or not we are contracting with the Independence First or whether these positions were in-house. The state was paying for the service being provided, not for the people, per se, providing the service.
Right, but it's, excuse me, it's much easier to cancel a contract than to cut a position.
Madam Chair, Supervisor, you're absolutely correct, however.
I'm assuming, I mean, most of the contracts that I've seen have come to us have clauses that if the funding dries up, the contract is void.
But I think they still would have people hired. Either way, they'd have people hired that they would have to let go if they lost the contract. So I would say that that the impact on the agencies is just the same. They're providing a service. They are hiring people to provide that service. Anytime the county cuts funding, there's an impact not only to consumers but to the staff that they've hired. It would be the same for us, that we would have to look at the service we are providing as well as the people that were providing that service when those when funds are cut to us for a particular type of service.
Well, I agree, but we're elected to protect the Milwaukee County taxpayers' money, not the money of the outside agency. So, you know, that's really not a concern. My concern is that if, you know, what residual costs are we going to have from these positions if we do bring them on? And then what will happen if the state does? Because I think we're all concerned with you know, what the next state budget's going to take a look, what it's going to look like as it comes down, affects shared revenue and also a host of all sorts of things. And but going back to the OPEB and liability, so you're telling me that there's no residual costs when and if the state stops funding these positions, that the county would not have any residual costs if we create these positions now.
Madam Chair, Supervisor, the legacy cost will not be affected because the legacy cost is fixed regardless of the number of employees we have. That's cost that has been incurred from prior years of service. The cost we will incur is on the active side. These will be four additional positions that we'll be providing health insurance for, and four additional positions that will be providing, that'll be receiving pension service credit. So we will have an increase in costs on the active side for active health care and active legacy. And we've taken that into account on the fiscal note and shown that under this scenario that Ms. Lyday has outlined, the cost of four positions is cheaper, taking into account active fringe, than what the contract was. Now, some of that, as Ms. Lyday has explained, is due to the way it was staffed previously. Mm-hmm. But the other thing she has explained to us when we reviewed it is some of the operational advantages she believes she's going to obtain that we can't put a fiscal cost on. In terms of the OPEB liability, because this is a general fund department, we don't OPEB. The OPEB liability is not recorded on the in the general fund. It will be reflected in our OPEB valuation. So it will be taken into account when a future valuation is done that we have four additional positions. But that will not result in a cost to the general fund because, according to accounting rules, for your OPEB liability, you do not have to pre-fund it for general fund departments. It will be reflected in our OPEB valuation and in our OPEB liability, but in terms of a budgeted cost, we will not see an increase in the 2012 budget as a result of adding this fourth position.
Right. We don't have to pre-fund it, but we still have to pay it.
I didn't
we still have to pay it eventually. I say we don't have to pre-fund it, but we still will end up
it's still it's still a okay. Future cost. You're absolutely correct.
You know, I guess my main concern is, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, from the information we're given, there's savings there by moving this in-house, and I think it's even more obvious that we probably have a better service delivery. You know, although I don't know if that could be worked on, you know, in the form of another RFP. I guess my big concern is, you know, without knowing the money that's coming from the state, I'm really hesitant to create any more positions right now till we see the next state budget and we know what our shared revenue is going to look like and the funding that we're going to be getting. And, you know, by, I know the contract here runs, I think, until June, I read in here, mm-hmm. By then we should see the state budget. I mean, I would recommend maybe laying this over until that point and get a look at to see that there's money going to be there to cover these. Because once we create these positions, we're going to have them and we're going to have the expenses that go with them.
Are you making a motion, Supervisor?
Yes, I'll make that as a formal motion.
Layover to?
Layover until, I think, the June cycle. We should have to see the state budget by then, I believe.
Supervisor Bruce?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand the concerns raised by Supervisor Sanfilippo, but I don't support laying it over. I think if we aren't going to move forward with our folks doing it, then, frankly, we should go back to independence first doing it so that the service gets done. Versus laying it over and not having the service. But taking a step back further from that, are these asterisk positions, meaning if the funding's not there, the positions go away?
They definitely could be. I mean, that's the way, you know, in terms of the resource center, the positions are asterisk. So if the funding goes away, we can't provide the functions.
See, and I think that would be a better solution to allow you to still do them in-house. If we make them asterisks, then if we don't get the funding, it's not even a follow-up decision by the county board. It means the position is gone. And so I don't know whether these positions, I don't know if there's like qualifying rules for that or how we might achieve that. Is that possible to do if we, I mean, we didn't approve the position. We're approving the rates of pay, but mm-hmm. maybe there's an, would we have to ask for an amendment to come for board day to the actual positions, or what's our option?
Let me call Mr. Session to clarify the process involved here. Mr. Session, your comments?
Madam Chair, Supervisor DeBruin is correct. The Personnel Committee approves the classification and rate of pay for positions that are recommended for creation by the Finance Committee. Finance did recommend approval of these positions, so laying them over would effectively, prevent establishing the rate of pay.
Okay. So you'd still have the position. But if, all right, so they'd still have, assuming the board adopted those positions, the positions would be in effect, but you don't have the rates of pay, which would be a problem. So, but what about the issue of asterisking them, having them, does that change, can that come from the administration before board day, or does that then mean finance would have to approve them again, or could the board approve that? What's that piece of it?
Mr. Regine?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, while I don't know about the technicalities you're asking about regarding asterisk, I can just tell you about the policy in the budget office. We would never allow a position to be budgeted where grant funding, I should say we never, it would be highly unlikely that our office would allow a position that had been funded with grant funding to be to continue on with levy funding, absent a policy decision by the county board through likely through the budget process. For example, in the district attorney's office, in the sheriff's office, when grant funding expires, the positions are abolished.
And I guess the second question is for corp counsel or staff. Is a corp counsel here? Did he?
We have the.
Oh, yay, hi, Mary. If we approve the classification of rates of pay, which is what's before us, can we either attach to that motion or do a separate motion from this committee today recommending that the positions be asterisked by the administration, that could be forwarded to the board?
I think you should make a motion to the matter before you to do that.
Okay. Then Supervisor Schmidt made the motion to concur with finance and audit, so we'd have to change that to approve the classification and rates of pay.
I mean, it would be separate resolutions because that was finance.
Well, but you wouldn't concur with finance and audit anyway.
That,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So we'd have to make.
So Supervisor
I can
Schmidt,
withdraw the
gonna,
motion.
Are you going to do a friendly amendment here?
I'll withdraw the motion.
Withdraw your motion and replace it with Supervisor DeBruin?
Right, that these positions would be asterisked.
So we're making a motion to approve the classification and rates and pay.
Subject to.
It's
subject
to.
With the positions also being asterisked.
Correct.
For abolishment if grant funding is not obtained.
Mm-hmm. And that would be fine.
Ms. Lydia, how much tax levy is in the budget in which these specialists are being created? Is there any tax levy?
There's some. Well, in the resource center, but not necessarily for these specific
correct.
Positions. We do have some levy in the resource center, and that levy was contained in the 2011 budget. Do you remember?
I don't.
What is the tax levy for in that budget?
There's, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a required match as part of the resource center revenue that we make.
Yes.
And I want to say that's about $500,000, if I remember correctly.
That sounds right. We could get the exact number.
There's
for
also
you.
Levy for individuals receiving services who had been on the waiver program,
yes.
but are not
through
qualifying
through purchase
for
of service
care.
Contracts. There's tax levy for that as well.
And these things are all match money to bring that money into the county. For the most part.
Purchase of service contracts are not. They're just individuals receiving service who are non-family care eligible. But the other, there is MA revenue coming in, and we're using levy to match that.
Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will withdraw my layover motion then so that we can proceed with the amended.
Appreciate that. So we are with the motion made by Supervisor DeBruin. Any other comments from committee members? If not, would you, can you restate the motion and then call the roll?
The motion is to approve classification and rate of pay and asterisk the position so that if funding ends, the positions are abolished.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Call the roll.
Borkowski?
Aye.
DeBruin?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Rice?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes, the motion is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lydia.
Thanks, John.
Item 12.